and she says, Sammy. Tell me how come you so strong? How can you come weak? Tell me. Secret, secret. Just you and me, babe. He said, well, if you bind me with 7 fresh cords, then I'll get weak. Okay, good night. Go sleep, night, night, night.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship, Oahu. Today, Pastor Wayne will continue his message on the downhill slide of Samson and some of the warning signs that he should have seen along the way as Delilah enticed him into her barbershop, Fantastic Samson's. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, The Dark Side of Success.
You see, God will put filters in place of accountability to guard us from our own temporary appetites. Because it doesn't matter if you've been a Christian 1 year, 10 years, 20 years, all of us will have temporary appetites, whether it's a week, a year, whatever. These appetites will be like cravings for something. And God puts filters in place to save us from satisfying these temporary appetites that actually eat your future to satisfy it. Eat your assignment, eat your commission, eat your purpose in life. Eat the intention for you having been created. That's the wood that it burns in the fire of its appetite. And what God does, he places filters of accountability in place to save you or safeguard you from eating your own future and your own destiny in just one night. You see, these people would be friends, pastors, parents, youth leaders, counselors, people who love God and love you in that order. But he'll put those filters in place. He did that with Samson. That filter, his parents. Let's read the scripture. Ready? Go. His father and mother objected strenuously. Isn't there one woman in our tribe or among all the Israelites you could marry? Why must you go to the pagan Philistines to find a wife? But Samson told his father, get her for me. She's the one I want. You see, he just decided to circumvent authority. One of the dangers of success, or the beautiful side of success, that is also the same as the dark side of success, is that the more successful you become, the less required accountability becomes. You can buy your way out, talk your way out, contact your way out, influence your way out. But accountability is every bit as crucial. It's a non-negotiable. It's an irrefutable law of life. Filters that will safeguard you from eroding your own future. But the more successful you become, the less accountability is required. You see, when you're under someone, accountability is something required. Now you become more successful. Now accountability isn't as required. It becomes voluntary. But every bit is non-negotiable. Every bit is important. Don't mitigate its importance. But sometimes we get more successful and we figure, I don't have to be accountable anymore because I can just buy what I want, do whatever I want to. No problem. So we shed accountability like a warm overcoat in a sunny day, only to have it desperately needed in a winter's night in Canada or up in the Northeast when you freeze to death. It's so easy to say, I don't need this now, but in a little while you will. Accountability, sometimes we think, oh, I don't need it now, but catch yourself without it, and you're in trouble. Accountability is so crucial that it's something we must choose. Just like tennis players that are professionals, accountability is found in the fact that they travel with coaches and the coach coaches them and they stay accountable to that. That's what makes them professionals. I was watching Michelle Kwan in the Olympics up in Salt Lake and how she'd take a few spills and I thought, boy, she should be better than that. And my wife said, you know, did you know that she fired her coach some time back? I said, oh, I didn't know that. Yep, and sure enough, in an interview, she did say that. She said, because she wanted to do her own thing. But then, almost in the same breath, she said, but I'm tired of getting bronze medals in fourth places and fifth places. I thought, well, the reason is is because you've chosen to not be as accountable as you used to be. It's easy to get more successful and you don't have to be as accountable. And then you see the ramifications and the consequences that happens. Now that kind of thing creeps right into the church, right into our lives as Christians. How? Oh, we can do the same thing and become very unaccountable, but paint it with such religious colors that it's pretty hard to tell the difference. Well, how do we do that? Three words. God told me. What? Yeah, God told me to marry him. Really? God told me to do this. Really? Because you see, as soon as someone says, well, God told me to do this, they're unaccountable. What am I going to say? What are you going to say? What does anybody, what can they say? Well, God told you. Say it. And you see, what we do is we put that out so that we have a nice religious way to say, I don't want to be accountable. Now, not that God doesn't speak, but if he does, please, please be sure and make it sure that it's confirmed with others who love God and love you that will say, I confirm God indeed said that to you. Some years ago, I had an intern come to train under New Hope and for pastoral kind of training. And one day he came and just mentioned off the cuff that he was leaving in a couple of days to go to a 2-week camp in the mainland. And I said, whoa, wait a minute, where'd this come from? Did you get, you know, permission or let anybody know? Oh, no, but I'm going to leave. And for a 2-week thing, I said, you're just going to leave and just gone for a couple weeks? Oh, yeah. I said, well, how come you didn't tell? Well, God really spoke to me and told me I was supposed to go. He said, so what are you saying? Well, God told me. So I said, okay, so you don't have to tell anybody else? Well, I would, but, you know, God told me, so I got to go. So I looked at him and I said, you know, do you think when God sent you here to intern, do you think it surprised God that I was pastor of the church here? Do you think it took God by surprise, or did God know when he sent you here that I was a pastor? Oh, yeah, God knew. Okay. You also realize that when God sent you here, do you think that God knew that you would come under my covering? Or did it take him by surprise? Oh, no, God knew. Okay, so God knew that you would come under here. Okay, so if God chooses to circumvent this accountability process that he put in place and told you something as important as what you're saying is, don't you think God would maybe at least let me know by email or something that what he's doing? Because you see, God is a God of order. So I said, I know this might be a hard word for you, but I will tell you when God tells you. And he stepped back and said, who do you think you are? God? I said, no. But you see, God is a God of order and he doesn't circumvent accountability. So he said, well, God told me. I said, no, you know what you're doing? You're doing this. You're at home at night. You are carving your own household idols. You're making your own God. Because you see, if it were indeed the God that we speak about, then I would know and I would confirm, yes, this is God. I want to encourage you to do so. But because you have desired to go to this camp, then what you did was, for fear that your permission may have been rejected and not granted, this is what you do at home. You take your desire out of your heart here, the material of your desire. I want to go to this thing. And you take this desire and then you mix it with a lack of courage for fear of rejection. And then you mold it into this little God. And then this God made out of the material of your desire. And then you say, God told me. But I say, but it's not God. It's God that you molded out of the material of your desire, out of the clay of your passion, your desire. And you mold your own God in your image. And then you say, God told me. When in actualities, if you were honest, you'd say, my desire made into a God mixed with my fear of rejection is telling me to to do this, and I'm going to paint it religiously so you won't hold me accountable to what the truth really is, because it's very difficult for me to say I lack courage for fear of rejection. I don't know if it's God, but I'd really like to go to this camp. Now, if you would have been honest, I would love that. But because of your lack of honesty, you made a God to give credence to your fears. So I said, do you understand that? So I'm going to make a deal with you, I said, this young intern. I said, I'll make a deal with you. I will be committed to hearing God with you, and I'll be committed to your best for your future development if you will make a deal with me and no more carving idols in this church. No more golden calves. Honesty only. Deal? Deal. We all do that. I'm really glad to report to you that Pastor Elwin's doing much better now. The first telltale sign is circumventing accountability. The second telltale sign that Samson just fell right into was number two, using what God gave him, but for the wrong purposes. Would you write that in? Using what God gave for wrong purposes. Oh, it's easy to do that. It's so easy. You see, Samson was given unusually divine strength. It said he was head and shoulders above everybody else. He was a looker. He was a hunk. He also had the position of judge of Israel. But what did he do? He used his position to get women, to get party favors, sexual favors. He would burst out in anger and then just say, don't hold me accountable for that. He would use what God gave him, his body, who he was, his strength, his position, for personal gain, for wrong purposes. That should be a telltale sign. Be careful. You're falling to the beautiful side, the dark side of success. And every single one of us will face that. And again, it's not when you hit this measure of affluence. It's at many, many stages in your life. You'll be tested in these things that you seem are important. This position, this raise, this office, this car, whatever it might be. You'll be tested in those areas. And there'll be telltale signs. And one of them is using what God gave you for wrong purposes. Let's read what the scripture says about that. In the New Testament, Matthew 22. Ready? Go. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Now, would you agree that the strength that Samson had was given to him by God? Would you agree? Would you agree that whatever strength God gives to you is a gift from God? Would you agree? What about your gifts? Is that from God? What about your finances? Is that from God? What about your ability or influence? Is that from God? Yeah. What about your brains? Well, whatever we have. Yeah, that's all from God. What about, now let me go a little further, your looks, your beauty, sister, is that from God? Yeah, he said, well, what about, what if I'm ugly? Well, then paint the barn. Joke. You guys, this memory is too good. But I want to hit something real strong with you. It's really easy to lose sight that everything you have is from God to be used in righteous purposes. Otherwise, God will give you something that's important to you, even looks. But God will take what God has given to you that's important, influence, finances, ability. Like seed, God gives that to you as a gift to steward for his purposes. What he wants you to do is to plant it that will sustain a generation for a lifetime. But you know what we do? We take the seed and at night we eat it ourselves. And it will sustain us for a night. But in doing so, it'll forfeit a generation being sustained for a lifetime. Do you understand how we erode our own future and our own promises and what God says, the reason I gave this to you, we eat it for ourselves. It might sustain you for a night, but you'll erode the future that God has in store. And sisters, brothers, be very careful Even if you have looks, you have prowess, you have charm, it's so easy to use it for wrong purposes, isn't it? When there's an appetite for affection, you can use your body, your looks, to gain that affection. And as soon as you do, mark my words, you're pulling boards off your house and burning them in the furnace. You're eating your seed of your own future. And God says, don't do that. Let's read what the scripture says. You'll see. Ready? Go. Run away from sexual sin. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. You see, if you lose sight of this and you start eating the seed, you start using what God has given to you for wrong purposes, if you buy into this, and it's okay, I'm not accountable, it's me. That's why you have these people, human rights kinds of people that are so strange. It gets really weird. Well, that's my right. My right to use my body in any way that I want to. My right to do this. And I think, oh, you can. You can eat your seed. But do you understand how you kill a generation? Do you understand what you're doing? You have no idea. People who pass those laws, I know, think very shallow. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that. Because you see, we have a tendency to do that. And when you do that, you get very easily deceivable. Very easily. Because your appetites make you an easy target of deception. Because out of weakness, we fall into various temptations. The weakness you have inside of you makes you vulnerable to deception. Some of you might know that there are some computer viruses going around right now. Some very gnarly ones. And you'll notice on the subject line, it'll come from abc.com, but in the line of the subject line, it'll say, you know, hi, sweetheart, look at these pictures I got for you. And then our appetite causes us to open the attachment, and as soon as you do and it downloads, it eats your computer. See, there's a beautiful side of evil, and as soon as you open it, it eats your hard drive. And I thought, man, is that like the devil or what? But you see what it's preying off of? Those temporary appetites that still reside. That happened just this last week in our church. There's this one of our secretaries got this email, and it said, hi, darling. And what this virus does, or the hackers do, is they actually pull at random a name from your own address book. Puts it in there and has something that causes you to go, ooh, and then you open this attachment and all of a sudden, whoosh, virus. We had to actually call our guy in to come in and clean out all our computers, had to shut down our whole system. So I walked in there and I said, what was this about? She said, well, it said, hi, darling. And I said, well, who did it come from, you know, out of your own address book? You know what she said? Oh, it came from Dominic. I said, our Dominic, ball ahead, Dominic. I said, what's wrong with this picture? I mean, he's one of our worship leaders. He's got the greatest heart, you know. And then it says, Dominic and hi, darling, open this attachment. I said, doesn't you know, something's wrong. She said, well, I didn't know, and I opened it up. I said, Dominic? Hi, darling. So now there's a big joke going around the office. All the girls are saying, Dominic, how come you didn't send me one email? Where's mine? So when you see him, say, hi, darling. Because you see, when those things are still resident in you, it's easy, you become deceived. It brings, would you write in there, when you're using what God gave you for wrong purposes, it brings deception. And that's exactly what happened with Samson. It made him so vulnerable to deception. Because enter now Delilah. And his life is coming to a close. The Philistines hire her for 1,100 pieces of silver. That's like $100,000 to find out the secret of his strength. So she entices him. Sure, he just goes like an ox to the slaughter. She's laying down with him at night. He's got his head on her lap, and she's giving him massage, shiatsu, massage. And she says, Sammy. Tell me how come you so strong. And he says, well, the reason is because, you know, just God gave me the strength. Okay, how can you come weak? Tell me. Secret. Just you and me, babe. Come on, darling. He said, well, if you bind me with 7 fresh cords, then I'll get weak. Okay, good night. Go sleep. Night, night, night. She gets 7 fresh cords, binds him up. Then she says, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. Puck, puck, puck. Whore, awesome. He's ready to go. Bust these cords open. She says, you lied to me. You didn't tell me the truth. That's exactly what it says in the Bible. Yeah, listen to this. Judges 16:10. Then Delilah said to Samson, behold, you have deceived me. You've told me lies. Now please tell me how you may be bound. I mean, by this time he goes, duh. But he's so deceivable, he lays down again. Tell me now. Oh, if you use new ropes that have never been used. Okay, go sleep. She binds him with new ropes. Samson, the Philistines are upon you. Bang, he breaks them all. She said, you lied to me again. Now you better tell me. Well, if you weave my hair into 7 locks and put a pin in it, then I'll become weak. As weak as a woman. Well, like that, you're going to look like a woman. And so she says, okay, lay down. She does exactly that. I'm just going to play with your hair. Just play with your hair. And she puts that in. And then she says, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. Boom, you know, muscles come out again. And then she said, how can you tell me you love me and you lie like that? Don't tell me you love me. That's exactly what the Bible says. Promise. True. Check this out. Judges 16:15. Then she said, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? They just use standard English. I use how it was really said. You've deceived me these 3 times and have not told me where your great strength is. And then he says this. Okay, I took a Nazarite vow. No razor has ever come to my head. If you shave my hair, I will become like any other man and God's strength will leave me. Okay, she said. He lays down, takes out the scissors, go sleep. Poo, poo, he knew, he knew. And she shaves his head. Then she says, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And this time it was true. They were waiting in the other room. You see what happens? Number 3, would you write down compromise and remorse? Compromise and remorse. Didn't heed any of them. Any of the warnings. Let's read what it says. Ready? Go. She said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times and just shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes. Sad ending. You see, what happens is those who refuse to see are the same as those who cannot see. And when I keep compromising God, what happens is this. My outer world begins to resemble my inner world. My inner world of blindness becomes physically resembled. My inner world of poverty, spiritual poverty, becomes my outer. Now, I'm going to say something that you need to really catch, please. So everybody listen real carefully. This is real important. As I said, you will come to different measures of success where you'll be tested with things that seem to be important to you. But God has a much greater plan. Here's the whole message in one phrase. Listen very carefully. God will test you with what is important to you in order that he might entrust to you what is important to him. God will test you with what is important to you in order that he might entrust to you what is important to Him. Win at every stage. And when you do, watch what God can do with the life that He's given to you. Watch.
You just heard part two of a message entitled The Dark Side of Success by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for listening. Words of New Hope is sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship, Oahu. Until next time, God bless you and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.